Now, as we continue with our studies in the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, I want to take my reading today again from chapter 1. While in a previous study we did read the first 8 verses of the chapter, I want today to read from verse 4 right to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 1. Commencing to read at verse 4. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, they also who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book, and send it to the 7 churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and in the midst of the 7 lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden belt. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, the things which will take place after this, the mystery of the 7 stars which you saw in my right hand, and the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us again the reading of this wonderful word. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before Thee. We acknowledge Thee once more, because in Thee we live and move and have our being. We depend upon Thee for the very breath that's in our nostrils. And while we thank Thee for all the blessings of the past, and for Thy kindness upon us at the present, we ask Thee, O God, to bless Thy word today for Thine own honour, and for the exalting of Thy beloved Son, and for the blessing of Thy people, we ask it in His precious name. Amen. And now we continue today with our study in this book. In our previous study, we dealt with the introduction to the book in general, and then the first three verses of this chapter. Now, when we come to verses 4 through 8, here we have a beautiful salutation. And then, from verses 9 to 20, we are presented there with the Sovereign Christ. Look a little at the salutation, verses 4 through 8. First of all, we're faced with what we would term the divine testimony. And then we have the divine titles, followed by a doxology. Look then at what I term the divine testimony. He's saying here in these verses, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now when you come to look at these churches, I have already indicated the order in which they are found, not only in chapter 1, but also in the seven letters that are sent to these churches, as recorded in chapters 2 and 3. The order then is Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now remember, these were actual churches that were located in the part of the world called in the Bible Asia, known to some today as Asia Minor, and referred to as Turkey. So that these churches were actually located in these cities in that particular part of the world. But now, that is not what we are interested in at the moment. I am interested now in the fact that there were seven of them. Here I suggest we have divine testimony. The number seven is used as a symbol, and it is a complete number. You know, God's numbers are somewhat different from our numbers. We like to count in fives. It's so easy to count in 5, 10, 50, 100, and so on. But you know, God has different ways of counting. For example, there are 7 days in our week. Does that seem strange to you? Wouldn't it become very strange if you had only 5 days in the week and men had to work 4 days and then the 5th day was the day of rest and so on? That's not the way that God ordered it. When you go back to the book of Genesis, God numbers the days. He numbers them 1 through 6 and then you come to the 7th day. 7 then was the complete cycle of the days of the week. And you'll also find in the book of the Revelation a great number of 7s. 7 seems to be a kind of perfect number, a complete number. And so it is that you have here the number 7, which is a symbol of the church. That is, the 7 churches that are addressed seem to be representative of the whole church in all the world throughout this entire age. Now, try and get a grasp of that idea. Hold it in your memory as you keep reading through what follows this chapter. See, after all, when God looked down through the ages or the years or the generations, God could see the whole church. Now, these 7 churches in Asia then were only representative. And they were representative in number. They were complete. So therefore, what was said to the 7 churches in Asia is a message to all those who have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. So that, my friend, the message delivered here is a message not only for these churches, but a message for us today. Here then we learn this, that the church is God's testimony on earth during this dispensation. Now back in the Old Testament, from the day that God took the nation of Israel out from amongst the nations and established them in the land, they were God's testimony in this world. And after all, if they had remained true in their relationship to God, they could have been the ideal nation. They could have been a pattern to others, but unfortunately they failed. There will always be failure where you have the human element, but that nation back in the Old Testament was God's testimony on earth. Now when you come to the Acts of the Apostles and the church is introduced, the church was a new thing. You do not find the church back in the Old Testament, but you do find the church which is his body in the New Testament. And this is God's testimony on earth during this dispensation. That is, in the era of time that rests between the time when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost and going right on to the other terminal point when the Lord Jesus Christ shall come back and take his waiting people home. In between those two events, God's testimony on earth is the church. Here then we have the picture of the divine testimony. John says this is written to the seven churches. Notice what he says to the churches. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Might I suggest to you, my friend, that if you're going to read and study in detail the book of the Revelation, it will be absolutely essential to keep in mind these two things, grace to you and peace. If we didn't have this measure of grace and this measure of peace coming from God himself, you could rest assured you would never be able to sit down quietly and take in the truths of the book of the Revelation, for it is a book of governmental judgment. But if you have a supply, as it were, of the grace of God, and of the peace of God garrisons and keeps your heart and mind, you can quietly read and study these great truths. And now you can add to that, that when you come to verse 10 of this chapter, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So in verse 4, there is a supply of grace and peace. When you come to verse 10, John says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When we come over to chapter 4, we'll discover this. The message to John was, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Now add these four things together, and I think you will grasp what is essential for the reading and the studying of the book of Revelation. First of all, there must be a measure or a supply of the grace of God to keep our hearts. There must be the peace of God to garrison the mind. Then we must be in the Spirit. That is, we must be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God to be able to take in and understand these tremendous truths that have to do with the end time. Over and above that, when you come to chapter 4, there's a door open in heaven, and John is taken up to stand at the open door. Therefore, he is looking in, and he can see things taking place in heaven. He can look down on the earth, and he can view things taking place on the earth, but he can view them from God's point of view. Though that is how we should read and study the book of the revelation. That is, with grace and peace in our hearts and minds, being guided by the Spirit of God and viewing things from God's point of view. Now then, I want you to notice some of the divine titles that are used here. First of all, it presents the Trinity. Some people don't like that expression, the Trinity, they try to deny it. But notice, very quickly, grace to you and peace from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come. That is the great Jehovah. There's the same one who was revealed in the Old Testament to Moses, I am that I am. It's the great Jehovah. And now, not only so, but it also says, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne. Notice again the number seven, suggesting the completeness of the person of the Holy Spirit. And so you have not only Jehovah, the Father, but you have the Holy Spirit. And more than that, he goes on to say, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. So you have the Father presented in His eternal being. He is the Jehovah. You have the Holy Spirit in the fullness of His operation. Then you have the eternal Son in His representation, in His resurrection, in His rule, and in His return. Note these things that are set before us here in this beautiful salutation. Remember, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. He tells us, first of all, that He is and was the faithful witness. That takes you to the fact that He was the representative here on earth of the Godhead. Here then is the eternal Son in His representation. He was the faithful witness. He Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Then it goes on to say that He was the firstborn from the dead. That speaks of His resurrection. Our Christ isn't dead. Our Christ doesn't lie in a tomb today. He arose in triumph on the first day of the week after they had laid Him in the tomb. But more than that, it says, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. He has everything under His hand. He's waiting for the time when His enemies shall be made His footstool, and Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth His successive journeys run, His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. And then it goes on to show you that He is coming again. For verse 7 says, behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, and they also who pierced Him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. Now might I point out to all my listeners today, that is not referring to that great event that we call the rapture. Because when He comes in the rapture, He's coming to call His waiting people home. This is referring to the time when He shall be revealed in power and in glory, and every eye then shall see Him. It's referring to the time that corresponds with Zechariah chapter 14, when His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. It's referring to the time that we'll read of when we come to chapter 19 of this book, when the heavens will be opened, and He'll come forth in power and in glory. Here we have the eternal Son set before us here in His representation, in His resurrection, in His rule, and in His return. And then there's a kind of doxology here. To Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. See, my friend, He not only loved us, but He still loves us. He loveth us. And He loosed us, washed us from our sins, and He made us a kingdom of priests. But now, verse 8 sums it all up and says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Now from verses 9 to 20, we are presented with great details concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the Sovereign Christ. Remember, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. If we have been introduced here to his relationship in the Godhead, now we're beginning to see what his relationship is to the church on earth. Look at his position. John says that he saw him walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, verse 12. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, here we have his position in the midst of the seven lampstands. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said to his own when he was here on earth, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Every group of Christians on earth today who meet together for church fellowship should face up to this. If they are gathered on scriptural grounds and scriptural principles, they should recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and therefore should be acknowledged as the head of the local church, and there's no need for any other head if he's the head. No one else should take his place. He's walking here in the midst of the seven lampstands in governmental dealings. He's the one who has the right to rule in the midst of the church. Says someone then, tell us, who is he? And we're given a description of him in the things that follow. We're told that he's clothed with a garment down to his feet. Now, if you notice his garment and his girdle, if you think of that and study it in the light of Old Testament teaching, you'll find that right here we have priestly dignity and discernment. You know that back in the Old Testament, when the high priest was inaugurated in Israel, he was dressed in his garments that were prepared for him, and he was girded. Now here the Lord Jesus Christ has his garment and his girdle, and it sets him forth in his priestly dignity and with the eye of discernment. We have his head and his hair, telling us of his purity and maturity in wisdom. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, telling us this, that there was purity there in the whiteness, and there was maturity there. Then we're told of his eyes, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. Remember, fire in the Word of God always speaks of judgment. Here he has eyes of penetrating judgment. Then we're asked to look at his feet. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. Remember this, that where you have brass, you have the thought of judicial judgment. Go back again to the Old Testament. You have the brazen altar where the sacrifices were made. But brass also speaks of strength. Here we have feet that tell of strength and judicial judgment. Then he had this voice. His voice was that of grandeur and majesty in power. And then he looked at his right hand, and in his right hand he held the seven stars, telling us this of his supreme authority in control. Then he spoke, and when he spoke with a word of authority, for out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Here is the one who could speak not only with authority, but it was absolute authority. It wasn't authority that he had from someone else. He wasn't working, as it were, under another authority. He says, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. He's the one who could speak with a voice of authority. Then he looked at his countenance. That was the countenance that spoke of supreme authority in government in his countenance. Then we have an exhortation. There is a hand of power to strengthen. There is the word of power to reassure. There was the command of power to write. And the explanation of the seven stars. He tells us that these seven stars are the angels or the servants of the seven churches. And he says the seven lampstands were the seven churches. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now, from the fight return victorious, every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him, crowns become the victor's brow.